This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
A few more days of freedom for the LAUSD kids. Burbank, too. We're talking back-to-school spending. It is high this year. The LA ballerina held in Russia, facing up to 20 years now. First, though, starting with his terror plot at the Taylor Swift concerts.
Just getting word that the show will go on in London for Taylor Swift. Police say there's no apparent link to that plot out of Austria. In that case, there's a confession. Investigators say the main guy admitted he wanted to kill as many people as possible.
At a press conference, Austrian police said the suspect arrested there was just 19 years old and had pledged allegiance to ISIS at the beginning of July, allegedly focusing his attention on the upcoming Taylor Swift shows. Another person was arrested later in the day, 45 miles to the northeast in Vienna, where the concerts were set to take place. Authorities say both suspects were radicalized online.
Here's a fan who traveled to Austria from Germany for the concerts.
For me, when I woke up this morning, I was like, okay, this is really serious, and I felt uncomfortable, and I'm like still going around the city today, I think it's going to be a bit weird just knowing like what threat laid upon us. And yeah, it's just very scary.
Investigators did find bomb-making materials at one of their homes. The teens questioned in connection with the plot, 19, 17, and 15 years old. Two of them arrested. Three sold-out concerts in Austria were canceled.
Russian-American ballerina from L.A. left out of last week's big prisoner swap, pleading guilty to treason in a Russian court. This is Ksenia Karolina, traveled to Russia to visit relatives. She does it every year. You probably remember this story. Arrested in February, accused of raising money for the Ukrainian army. Her lawyer disputes the charge, says she only donated to humanitarian groups, and it wasn't that much money. Moscow Times says she faces up to 20 years in prison.
Prime Minister, stop with the theatrical act. Do your job. Bring our daughters, bring our sons, bring our fathers, bring our kids back.
Family members there of Israelis being held hostage by Hamas. In Los Angeles last night, a message to the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Emily Valdez has more. She talked to the mother of one of the hostages.
Several hundred members of LA's Jewish community gathered here in Culver City for a vigil for the hostages still being held by Hamas.
Today is the 10 months since October 7. I live in hell. I live in hell.
Tammy Broslowski's son, Rome, was taken on October 7th.
He was 19, and he was celebrating his 20th in the captivity.
He was working security at the Nova Festival.
Right, right.
For hours, he saved people.
Saved people. He risked himself. He didn't know fear.
Hamas took 251 people hostage from Israel on October 7th. About 115 are still believed to be in captivity. It's unclear how many are still alive. In Culver City, I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Students in L.A. and Burbank going back to class on Monday, and they're going to be dragging their parents to the stores this weekend because they need the back-to-school stuff. John Baird's been talking to parents about how expensive it's been getting. He's live in Torrance.
Well, Deloitte did a survey. They talked to parents here in L.A. and around the country, and they found that people here are spending, get this, $921 per child for back to school this year. That's almost $200 more than last year and a lot more than parents spend in other parts of the country, 64% more. And I just had a conversation with a Torrance mom who's raising her nephew. He's 13 years old. They've been homeschooling him since the pandemic. So she's off the hook for back to school stuff, right? Not hardly.
Boy, we got to get the paper, the printer, the ink. The pencils, if there's a project for science, whatever the materials we need to do that project, history, if there's a project that we still got to buy the crayons, the paper.
Plus, his tuition is $2,000 a year, and yes, he'll need clothes too, she says. Back to school. Maybe we call them back to homeschool clothes. Now, lower income and middle income families say they're cutting back a bit on back to school expenses and cutting in other areas as well because of inflation, the higher prices this year.
Sound of fireworks, and we should know tomorrow whether or not you'll be watching them. The big show in Long Beach over Labor Day weekend. California Coastal Commission set to decide whether to allow the show over Alamitos Bay. Would replace the Big Bang on the Bay that was canceled earlier this year. That was supposed to be July 4th, but the Boys and Girls Club of Long Beach, It took over the event, had to cancel after finding out they didn't put in the application far enough in advance. Long Beach Post says there are now three options for a show coming up September 1st. Land-based fireworks, water-based fireworks, and a drone show. Club hoping to launch from the barges out in the water and do a 20-minute show.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
Presidential campaign heating up with J.D. Vance and the Democratic ticket of the Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz holding dueling events in Wisconsin and Michigan yesterday. We talked about it with AP political reporter Meg Kinnard about the campaign and the attacks.
Let's stick with the Republicans for a second because we're starting to see that message get into place, right? Saying that Walz is no moderate, Kamala is scripted, and this is doubling down on a big liberal ticket. And now we've got these questions about his military service, and that really all got rolling yesterday.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Yeah, it's good to be with you. These are definitely some lines of attack and subject matter that we are expecting to hear a lot more of from the Republicans now that Kamala Harris has solidified her ticket with Tim Walz. It's his military record. It's J.D. Vance saying yesterday that this was Harris's pick, showing that his words were that she's listening to the Hamas wing of her party. We've now heard him say that several times, really trying to roll in. He's more liberal than she is when it comes to Walz and Harris, and just portraying that as, you know, something that Republicans, I think, are looking at and thinking, well, this is ultra liberal. This is far left. This is going to be easy for us, politically speaking, the way that they're looking at it. But we're going to be hearing more and more about that. And the military records on Tim Walz is something that we're seeing more of from the candidates themselves, but also in conservative media, kind of amplifying those lines of conversation about Tim Walz's service and his departure from that service and reading into it themselves and kind of framing their argument around he quit the military, he's a quitter, this is not what we need for America.
Do you think the Harris campaign, Harris-Walz campaign, is going to have to say something to clarify that? Because I was watching, you know, some of the panelists on the Democratic side on the cable channels yesterday really having a hard time get out of that or explain it somehow when the Republicans were just hammering them.
I think we're starting to see some of that come out with some pushback. I've seen a bunch of it on social media and in my inbox since I've been covering these campaigns for the last couple of days, pointing out that this was a situation where Tim Walz reached retirement and that he had served for more than 20 years at that point. And so it's not that he abandoned his post, so to speak, but had been serving for years and years. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is something that we see come head on in terms of response from the Harris-Walz campaign. But this is also really fresh. And I think things move really quickly. And sometimes it feels like we've been dealing with a certain political situation for days and weeks at a certain point. But we are basically just hours into the official general election stretch of this now that the tickets are solidified. And I think probably the Harris campaign is trying to figure out what the best way for them to deal with this is. And part of that is likely trying to get a sense of how much traction it's getting and how long lasting they feel that this criticism from the Republicans will be.
You know, I was going to ask you, where has Donald Trump been? Because we haven't really seen him the last week or so. But he's got a news conference in Mar-a-Lago today. And I guess during that, he's probably going to get questions as to have you set that debate date yet? Are you going to go on stage?
And Donald Trump has been saying that there might be some news to make on that front. He's kind of been backing off a little bit in recent days in terms of media interviews that he's been doing about necessarily just saying, I will only do this on Fox and I will only do this on a certain date. And we shall see with this news conference coming up and with him expected to take questions from reporters. There is no doubt in my mind that he'll either address the debate himself or he will certainly get questions upon it because in these closing just 90 days or so, maybe even less than that at this point, the American public, now that there's a completely different ticket facing off with the Republicans, I think that people are anxious to see what a matchup would look like between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris on a debate stage, that's for sure.
Again, that is Associated Press political reporter Meg Kinnard. Armed robbery last night at a hotel in Beverly Hills, and Japan was hit by a magnitude 7.1 earthquake. All that and more coming up. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Getting some polling on the election. Still a close race, right? But there's also polling on what people think about American democracy going forward. New poll says most adults in the U.S. believe this upcoming election is vital to the future. Here's Donna Warder.
More than half of Democrats surveyed by the Associated Press and the Nork Center for Public Affairs Research say the 2024 election is extremely important or very important to democracy. About 40% of Republicans and independents believe that. Poll findings suggest that many Democrats continue to view former President Donald Trump as a threat to democracy after he tried to overturn the results of the 2020 election and embrace the rioters who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
2 in 10 Americans saying democracy in the U.S. strong enough to withstand the outcome no matter who wins. Another 2 in 10 think it's already so seriously broken, the election doesn't matter.
I'm getting them. You're getting them. We're talking about the political text messages. Mary Hughes tells us why we're getting so many.
Years ago, when texting was still a new thing, an experiment took place at Menlo College.
We were able to prove that getting a text message increased voter turnout.
Melissa Michelson is the Dean of Arts and Sciences at Menlo College and a political scientist. She says once others realized that reminding someone of a political event or candidate via text actually seemed to work, everyone started doing it. And now,
since they're no longer so unique and because they are now annoying, they are far less effective.
But according to Michelson, political texts aren't going anywhere. In fact, they'll be coming from people that you know.
Folks are now trying to make text messaging more effective by changing the sender to be somebody who's already in your list of contacts.
I'm Mary Hughes, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Parts of southwestern Japan under a tsunami advisory today. Big earthquake, 7.1, 440 local time, centered in an island offshore. Officials say no media reports of fatalities or major damage. A nuclear agency says all appears to be normal at the 2 power plants that are in the area.
It has been a year since those fires in Maui. Thousands of people, of course, still grieving the loss of their loved ones. And loss of their homes, too. The town of Lahaina, of course, damaged beyond recognition. Community leaders there say there has been progress, but so much needs to be done. Housing, affordable housing in and surrounding the burn zone, still a large issue. It was a problem before, but the fires made it worse. Rent prices, they went up really high with Maui reopened for tourism. A city councilwoman telling ABC at least 1,400 people have left Maui in the past year.
Tropical storm Debbie, still dumping the rain, made landfall a second time, going up the East Coast, drenching the Carolinas. Knee-deep floodwater in Savannah, Georgia. Homeowner there says the storm drains are just plugged.
I've never seen anybody come in here and run these drains to make sure these drains are not clogged and that they have full volume, which I'm willing to lay odds that that's part of the problem, because I've never seen any crews in here doing like a Roto-Rooter thing or whatever, however they do it. I've never seen anybody come in and run these drains. Now, they could have done it from the other end. I don't know.
Making landfall is a Category 1 early Monday in Gulf Coast of Florida, now blamed for 7 deaths, also expected to cause flooding across portions of the mid-Atlantic states northeast through Saturday.
There was an armed robbery at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel last night. A witness says a couple of guys walked up to a woman. One held a gun to her head and took a watch. Happened on the hotel's patio, among several other people, including woman's small children, were there. 2 men ran away from the scene. Beverly Hills police now searching for them. No injuries reported.
Man's in custody after being shot by police in Long Beach at a metro station. Officers got called out to the area near Pacific and Fifth, the A-line station, around 9 last night. Reports of somebody on the platform who had a gun, showing it off. When they got there, he ran away. They chased him. They shot him. No officers injured when they got their hands on that gun. Turned out to be a replica.
Hospitals will soon have to report to L.A. County before they send a patient's bill to collections. Here's Karen Adams.
The L.A. County Health Department says the reporting is to ensure hospitals are doing all they can to provide financial assistance to people who need it.
We will take that data and match it with other sources of data that we have to determine if that patient should have received financial assistance instead of a bill. We will take that data and that information and report it back to the hospital and say, hey, you know, we found that this percentage of these patients that you reported should have received financial assistance. So how can we work together to improve how you implement your financial assistance?
County Health's Dr. Anish Mahajan says, in addition to the reporting and helping hospitals do better, they have plans to help eliminate some of that patient debt.
We are using $5 million to purchase about $500 million of that debt and erase it. And we anticipate that over 150,000 Angelenos will have their existing medical debts erased by a $5 million purchase by the County of Los Angeles.
Dr. Mahajan says medical debt not only can lead to people not being able to make ends meet, but can lead to homelessness. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News 97.1 FM.
So off the air a few minutes ago, I'm going, look at the TV. It's important. Mm-hmm. The reporter has fluffy panda ears on. And then I'm like, look, there's one right there behind the glass. He's eating. She's eating. I don't know which one it is. Today's the day when the new pandas make their public debut at the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah, San Diego Wildlife Ambassador Marco Wendt tells us about the zoo's latest stars.
We have our 5-year-old male. His name is Yun Chuan. Now, Yun means clouds, and Chuan is a reference to big river. So it means big river of clouds. And that sort of speaks to the region, the Sichuan region, in which he is found. And also, side note, it happens to be a nod to his grandmother, who is Bai Yun, if guests remember that, your listeners, who was one of the pandas that was living here at the San Diego Zoo in the past. Now, he, by the way, is a super laid-back panda, sir. Now, he likes to sleep in. He loves to crunch in his bamboo on a day-to-day. And most importantly, the prioritized midday nap is essential for Yun Chuan. And we also have our 4-year-old female. Now, her name is Xing Bao. And Xing Bao represents precious treasure of prosperity and abundance, which is really significant, I think, because giant pandas in general, they represent wildlife conservation and friendship and peace. And again, having that name really represents the bridge, I think, between the cultures of China and the United States.
Midday nap. The pandas are just like us.
You lit up right then. You're like, oh my gosh.
I take one of those too.
Every day. There are a few ways, by the way, that you can go see the pandas.
And there's going to be mainly 3 ways that the public can experience giant panda. And again, it is on the website, but I'll give you a quick rundown. The first one is a brand new, very convenient ticketing system that will give you a very easy way to access the habitat and to see those pandas face to face. There's also going to be a standby line as well near the habitat. And thirdly, something brand new is we're offering an early morning panda tour experience. If you want something maybe, let's say, a little more intimate, that's definitely something I would recommend.
He said, you go on the website and find out. I went, what is that website? SanDiegoZoo.com.
Okay, all about conservation.
This experience, whether it be giant pandas or polar bears or oxalotl, it's for the communities of the world. And whether you're the emperor of the world or a kid from the barrio, everyone has the opportunity. Everyone gets the chance to experience these animals. And everyone takes part in conservation efforts. That this is a global effort. I remind people, you know, the planet, our beautiful planet Earth, it's the only place with chocolate, so we need to protect it. And all of us collectively together, we can do so much to positively impact not only giant panda, but the whole world together, working for a world where all life can thrive.